Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Here we are already. It's a very busy Thursday. Lots of great music for you. And right out of the chute, you notice there's no intro music. And you know what that means, right? That means that we have a guest. What a guest. Didn't know this was going to happen until the last couple of days. And that's cool. There's just so much to say about this amazing woman, this talented bassist, vocalist, composer, who has some of the strongest buzz I've heard, not just because people are enamored of the fact that a female with this much talent is a female, but just because of the sizeability of her musicianship and artistry. I'm talking about Mimi Jones. Hey, Mimi!
Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm so glad you had a chance to be with me because you are running, are you not?
Yes, but I couldn't miss this opportunity. I was so happy when you reached out to me.
You know, oh, well, listen, just reading about your background, I'm so freaked out. Just so folks know from soup to nuts, you were born in New York City. Your parents were from Barbados and St. Croix. Is that correct?
Yes.
We're so you had
people.
A bunch of different kinds of music growing up in your house. How did you gravitate to jazz?
Wow. Well, you know, in the beginning, I actually didn't like jazz. And my father, he kept pushing it on me. I would want to listen to, Michael Jackson and Run DMC because those were the people, you know, of my time. And
right.
Over time, you know, it kind of grew on me. I guess it was in my subconscious. And when I got to high school, there was a jazz band and there were kids my age doing this amazing thing. And I was like, I know that sound, you know. And so then that was how it all kind of started.
You know,
joining the high school jazz band.
It's so funny. You know, this weekend is Mother's Day weekend. Mother's Day is Sunday. But your dad, I have to mention the dad. He was so cool. He noticed early on you had a gift. So he got you to go to the Harlem School of the Arts, right?
Yes. I told him I wanted to play with Michael Jackson and that he needed to get me an electric guitar. And he looked at me like, okay, well, this is how you're going to start. We're going to get you an acoustic guitar, and you're going to take lessons at the Harlem School of the Arts. So I went there when I was 12.
And then I just love this because you got to know the guitar really well, but then you went to LaGuardia High School, and there was no guitar in the program that you wanted to join, so you switched to cello. How fortuitous is that, huh?
I know. I came right up the ranks of strings. And, you know, it was kind of sad because I did love the guitar. I did pretty well studying under Jim Bartow, and I won a few awards with it. I actually traveled as a kid to Amherst and did a couple of competitions. And but then when I got to high school, there was no program for that. So I got into the orchestra, which was fun, but it's funny how an instrument chooses you. Because
yes.
I loved the cello, looking at it and hearing it, but I could not get a sound on it. I mean, honestly, I would run my family out the door trying to practice at home.
Oh, well, you gravitated to bass. I mean, wasn't the story that someone caught you playing bass and you just knew kind of that was yours, that was your instrument?
Yeah, that's how it happened. The band director at the time at Performing Arts High School of LaGuardia, his name was Justin DeChocho, and he just happened to see me playing around. When I should have been playing cello, I was spinning the bass around and playing the Barney Miller theme in the mirror.
Oh,
my
God.
Like, you know, we need a bass player. And I was like, oh, I don't really play bass. You know, he's like, well, you do now because you sound pretty good. And he
That's a
me.
Trip.
Yeah. He switched my whole schedule, you know, and then I was in the third big band, actually. you know. And it was amazing because for the first time I had a little bit of control. You know, in the orchestra you're sharing the space with other bass players.
Yes.
So if you stop, you know, they might not notice if you play a wrong note or something, but when you're, you know, when you're the only one, you really have to be responsible for that time, you know, and the changes. So it was kind of cool.
Well, I just love the fact that he said to you, you are now going to be a bass player in our orchestra. That's such a trip. You know, you hear these stories and you wonder, oh, my God, what goes through a young woman's mind when she hears that? What do you mean I'm going to play the bass? But you jumped right into the fire.
I did. I have a knack for jumping into the fire. I mean, people look at me. People look at me and they say, why? And, you know, why would you pick an instrument that is like twice the size of you and so heavy? And just, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it chose me, honestly, you know. So I kind of like a challenge, and then to overcome it is, you know, it's something that I just, I don't know. My whole life seems like it's built around that.
Well, Mimi, and we're talking to Mimi Jones, by the way, who's just this amazing, talented person, and you talk about catching some ears, catching some eyes. Here you were graduating from the Manhattan School of Music, doing a gig on your graduation day, because the word has been out. I mean, you've played with Kenny Barron, you've played with Roy Hargrove, Ravi Coltrane, Joshua Redman. Good God. And there's a specific reason why you're on the show right now. Tell us about these gigs coming up, because you've got some really cool things going on.
Oh, yes. So I'm going to actually be doing an East Coast tour. I want to call it a mini tour because we have 5 dates, but I'm, you know, it's kind of like the premier tour of the Mimi Jones Band. So I'm really excited. We're going to be on May 15th. We're actually going to be at the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Club.
Oh, yes.
In D.C. Yeah. And that's at 2001 11th Street on Northwest. I'm not exactly sure where that is in D.C., but we'll be there at 7:30, and we have a 9:30 show. And
excellent.
I'll also be... Yeah, that same day, we're going to do a high school in Baltimore called the Sherwood High School. Yeah, and that's going to be really exciting because we're going to actually get some of those kids to play with us, and I think some of them are going to come down to the gig at the Bohemian and sit in and do some backgrounds because
awesome.
We are a trio. Yeah, so we have space to do some horn work. And then we're going to go down to Norfolk, Virginia,
uh-huh.
and we'll be doing a series called Fuzzy Wednesdays. And, it's kind of a neo-soul kind of crowd, but that's at 333 Waterside Drive, Norfolk, Virginia. And then we're going to come back up to Philly, and we're going to play this jazz series called the Jazz Bridge Series.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, that's at 7:30, and that's at 507 South 8th Street in Philly. And then we're going to do the Cleft Club. Since we're in Philadelphia, I'm really good friends with a great drummer named Justin Faulkner, and his mom is a big part of that school and club, and that's at 738 South Broad Street in Philly.
I know it well. That's my hometown, girl. That is my hometown.
Oh, okay, yeah. So yeah,
Broad
that's
Street,
our little
huh?
Front. Yes.
That's where it is. And
yeah.
And what's the name of that high school you're going to play on the 15th of May? Is that open
called,
to the public?
I believe it is. It's called the Sherwood.
Sherwood.
Music. Sherwood, yeah.
Okay.
It's in Sandy Springs.
Oh, Sandy Springs. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's right
near
this is
my district. First time in that area. So, but and actually, it's so funny because right around this time every year, I'm usually at the Kennedy Center because they have the Mary Lou Williams Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So I was so honored this year to do it with the Mosaic Project,
which
is created by Terry Lynn Carrington. So I'll be in D.C. actually on Saturday May 12th, and then doing a show, and then I'll be back next Tuesday to start my tour.
Okay, so let me clarify this. You're going to be there on in the next couple of days. This is going to be Saturday.
That's right.
So, because there's so much going on, Mimi, forgive me. Is the Mary Lou Williams Women in Jazz Festival happening this weekend?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh, it came on really fast. This year is zipping by. Wow.
It really is.
Oh,
I'm trying to get ready for my tour, that tour, and another tour at the same time. It's so crazy.
Then you're going to be, are you not, with Terry Lynn Carrington and everybody at the Playboy Jazz Festival?
Yes, we're going to be there on Father's Day. And this is my first time. I'm so excited. They were telling me all the crazy stories, Bill Cosby and, all the people that are involved, So.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be
excited about that.
Extremely different this year. I think the vibe is just so interesting for a renewal of interest in jazz. Dr. Cosby is taking no prisoners as far as what he says. I just love it because he's an open vessel, and he just you are going to get welcomed by him in a big way, especially if he has never seen you. He is going to love you up and make sure that you feel like this is the best experience you ever had.
That's so cool. That really, people who appreciate what we do, it's not every day, because it's not such a mainstream kind of thing. So when you find embracement, like yourself, Trish, I truly appreciate this and what you're doing on your show and,
you.
Just making the time to do this for the
musicians. Mimi, my God, you are just such an amazing talent, and on top of the fact that I'm so impressed with your resume and what you have accomplished and how other people gravitate to you, I just love this whole notion, and you have to explain this, this whole, I'm going to call it an ambassadorship. You're a cultural exchange person. You have done your part to take guitars to children in other countries, maybe not even familiar with music. You've changed little lives.
Yeah, I'm a really big advocate in the youth and just bringing music, keeping it alive, but using it as a healing agent. Like when you're having a bad day or if you're just having a bad life or whatever, music can really, really get in there and make you feel better,
Just
change your outlook. So it's just really important that on any tier we do our part to try to, bring music to people and art in general. And I traveled in many countries with the U.S. Ambassador Tours and, just met people who they wanted it so badly and they just didn't have the means. And that's something that's really important to me, to just try to help people to reach that place in any way I can. So myself and Steve Bloom, we went into Mali and we took some guitars to the Malian students there. Steve put together a massive fundraiser, and, it was just really amazing. And right now I'm working with a company. It's actually my record label. They're called Hot Tone Music, and they're an advocate of doing things like that, putting together groups for kids, and not just children, but people in general, like looking into the wellness and health of the people. Yeah. And, somehow tying the music to that. Right now they're planning, a big, I don't know how to say it. It's like a village, but it's they're creating this thing where they're going to have music and healers from all around come together, and people can come in and actually get healed and listen, And so that's so important,
That sounds
really
beautiful.
Yeah. Trish, I forgot to mention that in this Mimi Jones band on the tour we're about to do, I am featuring a really great pianist named Rachel Ekros.
Oh, yes.
And I'm also featuring a great drummer named Shirazette Tenen. So I wanted to just mention their names as well.
And may I just applaud you for keeping it all female? You know?
I just think I was blessed like that, you know. I don't even know if I aimed that direction. That's what came out when I decided to do this, and I receive it, and I think it's beautiful, you know. So,
well, look, like, you know, you are preaching to the choir. We had a guest not that long ago, Janice Rochelle Littlejohn, and she is the person who is behind the film project, But Can She Play? And
that's big now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so amazing to see the offshoots of women involved in jazz. You know, Gail Johnson has her Jazz in Pink series that she does with a lot of, upper tier contemporary jazz women. And I see that what kind of success Terry Lynn Carrington has had with Mosaic Project. I mean, this trips me out. Doesn't it trip you out? Aren't you just, like, so excited?
Yes, because, you know, a lot of times these women are, like, unsung heroes.
Yes.
And you don't get to see them, or you see them for 1 month, you know, the Women in Jazz month, but that's it, you know? So I really feel proud to be able to, you know, sponsor something like that and make a platform for them to shine and be a part of other people's groups, you know. And these groups are not, it's not like, okay, we're going to get a bunch of women together, a bunch of chicks. These women are really fierce, you know.
Of course.
And these groups really are put together based upon their talent and their skill, their musicianship, and, you know, their chemistry. So it's amazing, you know, it's amazing what we can do, and we just need to keep doing it more, you know. So.
Well, we do, because, you know, it's not necessarily the fault of men, because, you know, we all have had blueprints when we grew up. So a lot of guys in jazz had the blueprint that guys played jazz. And
right. It's
they're not used to it. So it's just so amazing to see this veil drop when men are watching astoundingly talented women play. It's
right.
It's as though, it's honestly, Mimi, it's as though it frees them up to relax.
Right.
It's like, okay, I don't have to worry about that anymore. You know what?
Right.
Just clear that away. It's all good. I'm not worried about the bass player I got next to me, because she's really better than any bass player I've ever had.
Right.
I love it. How did A New Day get its title? Because I just love the whole idea of that.
Wow. Well, when I was writing it, we were in the midst of a country and a world of just chaos. You know, I think it was kind of right before Obama and when he was coming in, and
yeah. It
was like we needed a change, you know, and everybody was just waiting for a leader, for hope, for something, because, you know, the society had been so mashed up. So I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to reflect, have the music send out healing messages of, like, it's going to get better, you know, and we have to look toward the light, even though, you know, everything just seems crazy. You know, I had people talking to me about, like, I wanted to have a baby, but now I don't even know if I should with all this war. And, you know, and it's just like, it, you know, it can be insane. So definitely we need those little daily pushes of hope and just thinking of positive notes and things like that. And, you know, I mean, It's good to look back on what happened to learn from it, but at the same time, we really do have to look forward and do our part. So that's what the day is kind of about.
Gosh, Mimi, it just seems like then at the time that you were thinking about the project, you know, we were having a war in another country, but now there's this inner turmoil here, and it's now we need those positive thoughts more than ever to combat the almost relentless negativity that comes our way every day. So I really appreciate what I heard on A New Day. It's really it's really fabulous music. And then I just stopped in my tracks because you did We Shall Overcome. Oh, my God. Oh, girl. Right. It touched me, and I thought it would be cool, since you're with me, to play the song, if that's okay with you.
Oh, of course, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is the amazing bassist, vocalist, composer, go-to woman. If anybody wants to have somebody shine with them, you go to Mimi Jones, and this is from her CD, A New Day. This is We Shall Overcome on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Yes, we can. We can do it.
That is a beautiful job. Mimi Jones from A New Day, We Shall Overcome. Oh, you know what? That seems so timely, Mimi, because of the big statement from President Obama yesterday, and that took a lot of courage. So I wanted to play it for everybody. Everybody gets that message. It's not just a few. It's everybody who needs to know, that's all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
God bless you. Man, I love that. Woo! And a little bit later on, I'm going to play I know I'm going to take leave of you soon because I know that you only have, you know, approximately 30 minutes or so. But I loved Sister, and I wanted to play that for moms.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you like to see happen with Mimi Jones in the days and months ahead? Not that you have any time to think, mind you.
No. I mean, you know how this kind of goes. It's like music, the life of an artist is like you're doing a lot, and then it slows down, and it's like, is anything going to come? And then it all comes at once, and then, you know. But, in June, I'm going to be going back in the studio to do a new record. So that's kind of really huge. Yeah. So I'm excited to, bring together some more artistry and just talk about the times and the word of the day, you know, because this is important to me to get this out to people, get these messages and these positive notes out to people. So we're going in. I'm also, I play a lot with the Tia Fuller group, Tia Fuller Quartet, so we'll be traveling a little bit this summer. She's on the road with Esperanza. And it's so funny because all the groups are intertwined, you know, and,
Terry
Lynn.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll be doing her Terry Lynn's Mosaic as well and just some more of my stuff. I'm looking forward to just making my way around the states on this tour. This is the first leg of it, so hopefully we'll go out west and, you know, south and then hit Europe and other countries, you know. I'm looking forward to doing the Haitian Jazz Festival again next year.
Oh, yes, yes, you did that last year, yeah. Wonderful. And you know what? That's a silly question for me to even ask, too, because things are going to happen so organically with you because that's the way they have happened, just naturally.
Yeah.
And one offshoot after another, and then you find that things intertwine, as you said, with, 9 degrees of separation from Terry Lynn Carrington.
Right. It's so funny. It's more like 2 degrees.
Yes. Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, we want to make folks familiar, and I will post this, Mimi, on my Facebook page because there seems to be a gravitational pull for folks to figure out what's going on. Let's go to Trish's page.
Nice.
So,
that's great, Trish.
Well, you know what? We do what we do. Bohemian Caverns in D.C. on the 15th, and you're going to be at Sherwood High School in Sandy Spring that day, too. Mary Lou Williams Women in Jazz Festival this weekend, and you're going to be in Philadelphia, and I'll make sure that the Bridge people talk to me so that I can post that on my page, too.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. We got to make sure folks come see you in person, and I will do that, too.
Yay. Yes, thank you, Trish. Thank you. You're always welcome. Don't hesitate to ask me for anything.
Oh, well, listen. Well, now that you've mentioned it, okay. Well, much continued success to you and blessings. I know that you're going to have them. Your head is in such a right place, and you're going to be able to take care of children who really need you. You seem to be such a natural mentor, and people are going to be healed from what you do. You'll see.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Trish. That means a lot.
Well, you mean a lot to a lot of different people who think the world of you, and it's just going to get better from here. So, Mimi Jones, I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Okay. Guys, take care.
You too, and we'll see you soon.
Okay.
All right, Mimi.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Mimi Jones, she's amazing. Oh, my gosh. Just when you see mimijones.com and see the body of work that she's done already, And now we're just going to play the song thinking that she is going to be here. Gretchen Parlato. Yes, indeed. We're going to gravitate from Mimi Jones to Gretchen Parlato. And they know each other, of course, because they're part of what? Terry Lynn Carrington's Mosaic Project, Some of the Time. There's a whole bunch of different women that go back and forth with this, and it's just working out so well. This is Gretchen Parlato from The Lost and Found. This is something really cool. I think that you'll like this a lot. It's called How We Love.
And on and on and on.
I hear that voice and I go into a zone and I speak for thousands. A few years ago, Billboard used this adjective to describe Gretchen Parlato, alluring. Well, now it's 2012, and let me tell you something, that alluring has given birth to alluring, okay? Singer, writer, award-winning inspiration, and legend in the making, ladies and gentlemen, Gretchen Parlato. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm just dandy. I was so tickled to see you while the song was playing. Oh, my gosh, Gretchen. We just talked to Mimi Jones, and of course you know Mimi Jones.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to see all these gifted women in jazz who are busy. That means everything. Are you just buoyed with excitement that things are happening in jazz?
Yeah, it feels like a really, a grateful time to be around and to experience what everyone has to offer and share. And just, yeah, it's a great positive and supportive energy.
Yeah. And I have to say, more than mostly anybody, and you must feel this yourself because, you know, you certainly came from a musical background with your dad and your grandfather, being immersed in music, but you just seem to have had a pattern in front of you that was mostly positive. There hasn't been a lot of setbacks at all in your career. You are on this golden path, and it just speaks volumes, I think, to the fact that you work really hard every day, don't you?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have been lucky that I've been supported by my family, by teachers early on, and always, gone to schools that were really arts based and just nurtured in a way that I was able to just find the love in my work very early. You know, there's people that have professions where it's really just work and they don't. You know, they're not necessarily in love with what they do. But luckily, I found the love very early and just thought there's no other choice but to follow this. So, yeah, I think that does allow me to find the joy in it so that I do want to work hard and want to continue and challenge myself, push myself, but also just enjoy the path. And, you know, I also like to just not work and, you know, relax and just kind of let things be and let things happen in the right time. So a balance is very important, yeah.
And you have to do that, Gretchen, because honestly, when I hear you, especially with a song like that, that's a song that you wrote, How We Love, from The Lost and Found. And I just feel that journey that you took and believe every word you say. You have to lean back and savor the moments in your private life where you can recall the things that mean the most to you so you can write. We have to have more of your writing because females gravitate to the voice in you. It's certainly not just because you've got that work ethic, but your voice is able to transcribe what we could not say in words.
Oh, that means so much for you to say, and that your timing is so perfect because I'm kind of imagining the ideas of the next album and thinking about, you know, what I can put together. So hearing that kind of encouragement and you know, the effect is profound, so that will definitely push me to do whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. That's true. We do have to read. We do have to allow. I mean, I get inspiration from just everyday life experience, and if I didn't have the time, like you said, to just sit back and enjoy the journey and the path, and these ideas wouldn't really have any space to come out. They would be gone so quickly that I wouldn't have time to write them down and turn them into some kind of art. So, yeah, I think it's a nice kind of reflection on our lives and just allowing our lives and our stories to come out through our art.
And it's funny, I wasn't even going to delve into this, but you just said something and it triggered an idea. It's not only that you're able to convey the songs that you wrote, because, you know, many people are able to do that because they're so personal, so the expression naturally comes. But when you, oh my God, let me tell you something. I'm going to sound like a groupie now. But when I heard you do from the Mosaic Project, I Got Lost in His Arms.
Oh, yeah.
Gretchen, time stopped.
Amazing.
You were able to do with that song possibly what no one had fathomed when the song was originally written, because you, and I'm just going to tell people this just to let you know the power of Gretchen Parlato, she was able, you were able to get into me and make me realize how much I love somebody I thought I had forgotten.
Oh, wow. Oh, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, no. You know, you gotta face the truth of what.
Exactly.
Because
you're
if
like,
you can't
this
face.
I thought I was.
Yeah. Doggone you, Gretchen.
No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, maybe I'm not. I don't know.
No.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, so much of that specific song is, I mean, all of it, really, that's Terry Lynn Carrington. That's her arrangement and her whole, you know, she asked me to sing that song and sent me a demo of the song. I think she was the one singing the whole track. That's her voice in the background of, you know, the chorus that kind of comes in. But she was actually singing the verse of the song too. So that whole thing was her idea and her whole energy. So I was happy to be a part of it and be asked to kind of execute that thought and that idea. So I agree. That's a really, she did a whole spin and twist on the classic song and really turned it into something new and fresh. And that's the perfect thing. If a song, a version allows the listener to hear the song in a new way, or even more deeply, like you said, not just hear it musically in a new way, but tapped into something in your own personal life, that's the best kind of compliment, the best kind of effect.
Oh, you are no stranger to these kinds of of comments, and you're going to get them even more because you wrap your soul around that vocal. It never is throwaway with you. It means so much. And even in, you know, you can see it too, because there's a lot of videos out there that show that you are in a different place. And if folks catch up with you, and I'm going to be doing this tomorrow night because you're going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis. So, sister child, I will be there.
Oh, good. I'm so happy that you'll be there. That's great.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be a really lovely crowd. And let us tell folks, this is one of the most mind-blowing things about Gretchen Parlato here. This is so amazing. 2001, here's the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz, who for the first time allowed someone focused on vocality into the institute. Here she is, Gretchen. Now, moved 2003 to New York City. And then 2004, you won the doggone vocal competition from the Monk Institute. My gosh.
That was a thrill. That was quite a thrill, yeah.
Gretchen, it's just so amazing. And then here's another mind-blowing thing. 2005, self-titled CD comes out. Tell us about how this downbeat blindfold test works, because that's pretty fascinating.
Oh, that was cool. Richard Bona?
Yes.
Is that the one? Yeah. I don't know how they choose the tracks to play, but they played, Richard Bona was taking part in a blindfold test where he, you know, listens to songs without knowing the artist, knowing anything, and comments on them. So they played, I believe it was a track from the first CD called Azure, this Duke Ellington song that Leonel Lueke and I play as a duet. Richard Bona just, he gave it, you know, his the top rating. I think you have to rate the song and then talk about it. And he liked it, so that was wonderful to get that kind
he
of
liked it. Yes.
Nod. He liked
five
it.
Stars.
He approved.
5 stars. Oh my
yeah.
Because that doesn't normally
it was
get
great.
Done. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's really, you know, it's been really special, and I'm very grateful. Like I said earlier, it's to have so much support in the community. You know, that means everything to have, you know, musician support, as well as you know, audience support and everybody in between that. But it does feel good to be in the community of such great artists and to have people that are, you know, working together, either literally or just in the sense of supporting each other in what we do. You know, there's room for everybody there.
Oh, for sure. And
yeah.
I really do love the fact that you've had such amazing people in your corner from the very beginning. I mean, you know, it's not like these are second stringers, Gretchen. Herbie Hancock,
mm-hmm.
Terrence Blanchard, Wayne Shorter. Oh, yeah, we really do
yeah.
like Gretchen Parlato.
That felt amazing, too, yeah, to get, the, you know, recognition, kind of a little a push from living legends like those gentlemen. It's just... I think it will always feel amazing to me that they have, you know, known my name and known who I am and liked what I've done, because in the bigger picture, it really made a huge difference for other people who might not have listened or cared to you know, that's how it works in the world, like it or not, that if somebody, you know, kind of a big name gives an approval of something, that people are going to check it out. So I you say that, and then it still is, they might check it out and not like it, which is fine, but it's at least people were kind of you know, leaning in a little closer and giving something a chance that they might not have paid attention to. So I'm grateful for it in a personal way, but in a bigger picture way, just for other artists that might be a little more understated, it's really nice to have people, you know, take a listen to something that is intimate and subtle and understated, because that's just as valuable as something that's big and obvious and in your face. It's all good.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, we need that's a positive factor in music, because the world is full of noise. And when someone takes the time to do a piece that means a lot, without it being frenetic or without the abundance of vocal acrobatics that you hear in so many artists, because, you know, as society goes, especially America, if one particular person has success, oh, let's clone that. So,
right.
You know, here you come with all the nuance in your voice and the holding back and the giving forward, holding back again. It's like a whole story in a song, and people need to hear the whole story, not just snippets of what somebody might think the song suggests. I don't think that
right,
you
right.
undertake a song unless you know from head to toe what that song could mean for you and for somebody else.
That's very true. I'm so glad that you feel that and have, you know, taken note of that, because that is my intention and my goal is, yeah, like earlier you said, nothing throwaway and nothing that is not completely thoughtful in what I choose to sing, and every word every lyric, every note, all of that, it really should mean something. And then when you realize that, how powerful that is, it actually does make it okay to, you know, have space and silence and less is more kind of a approach to things and have it really be meaningful. And, you know, and like I say too, it's really just about honesty, because if, on the other hand, if it was natural for me to be much, much bigger in my presence and in my voice, that's wonderful too. And there's so many singers that have completely different kinds of approaches to what they do, and I totally love them and appreciate them as well. So there's always, you know, a space and a time for something that's big and powerful in that sense, and something that's much more, you know, subtle. I think it's all valuable and it's all meaningful, you know. So we do need all of it. That's what I mean by there's room for everybody. It's my path is just happens to be my path. So it's not that it's this one way to do it, to do anything, you know.
Well, and in actuality, Gretchen, when you see when we as folks who appreciate music go to some place like Ram's Head, tomorrow night, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's just wonderful to see somebody who is secure in herself to be able to do the holding back, because many times folks who are artists aren't secure, and therefore they let it all out because that's what they feel as if they have to give. They have to make statement after statement. But when we are able to see someone who knows how to push it out and how to wow and then to bring it in, that's the difference between a show and a healing experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I love that. I need you to be around more often. This is making me feel this is exactly what artists need to hear, you know, to kind of to allow all of this to come out. It's it really, just what you said is really powerful. Yeah, there is a difference between just a different level of just a performance or a show or being entertained or something that heals you and transforms you and makes you, allows you to kind of look within and look deeper and higher and lower and all those things. So that's always in my goal and my intent. So it feels really, really good to have you make note of that and express that. So thank you.
Oh, listen, thank you. We've talked about this and on varying levels on this show. It just is riveting to see someone who allows himself or herself or a unit, a band, to be vulnerable so that the audience can come inside. I love it when I hear people who are so talented also make note of the fact that their audience is intelligent. And
right. Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm. The more that you give them, the more they give back to you because they know that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
They just respond so much, and they feel the honesty that you're projecting, and it just becomes this situation. I guess it's a buzz for you for hours. Can you come down after a show?
That's a good question. I know I talk about this with a lot of people who are in the same field, and it's very intense. It's a really unique kind of lifestyle that we have as performers, because it is like, you know, a natural high that happens from the show, from the adrenaline, from the energy of building up to a show and then performing, and then even after the show, those few extra minutes that you know, the show is over, but you come out and greet people and sign CDs and you're still, you know, connecting with people and on, so to speak. And then, yeah, packing everything up and heading back to the hotel, and then everything is just quiet and completely, you know, you're just there, and it's like you can still hear the music, you can still feel all of that energy. So I do, there is kind of a natural high from there that still lingers hours after the show. I just like to sit with it. I welcome it. There's a lot of people that might, you know, it's like, no, I can't sleep. I got to go out and, you know, let's go hang out at the bar, or let's go out to a club, or let's, you know, go hear more music, or let me, you know, I need to watch a movie on, you know, as I fall asleep or something like that. And that's fine, too, but I think my tendency is to really enjoy that kind of buzz in my own, in solitude, really, you know, or in a minimal kind of setting, so that I like to have the balance, you know, of of being very social and then being very still. And, you know, I'll usually take a bath and maybe do some yoga before I go come back down so that I'm kind of welcoming the buzz, but then allowing it to just kind of be there and then fall away, you know. So I love having a balance in my life of a lot of space and silence sound and silence, in specific terms and kind of in a general way too. I think that's what life is.
And I completely get that. And you know, of course, why you feel that. You need to be the social and you need to be the separate and silent because you are an October baby.
Oh, no, I'm a February baby.
Oh, you
I'm
are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of Libra in you, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The balance, yes.
Mm-hmm. The balance is really... especially for you, because you've got a lot on your plate. You are the same age as my stepdaughter. You were born in 1976, so you've had so much happen to you, and I'm going to let you go in a second. You've had so much happen to you in such a short space of time. What would be the pinnacle of all experiences that you could surmise happening to Gretchen Parlato?
Oh, wow. That's such a deep question. Because that could be, you know, I wonder musically, to be specific musically or to be really general.
Well, you know, it's a dream come true scenario. If you had the call to say, Gretchen Parlato, we have something to tell you. What would that call be about?
Wow. I know. That's a really deep question to kind of look back on, reflect on your own life and think of what was the biggest moment. I mean, there's a few. I think you touched on some, like the Thelonious Monk, the competition, the Institute.
Getting into the school and winning the competition.
Even getting into the school. Even going back, you know, I think really, though, it's like when things kind of all, the realization that it was something that I would love to do was even like my audition for an arts high school, that I went to LACSA, LA County High School for the Arts.
Oh.
I might think about that and even go back for further. And, you know, going, because that was a choice. That was something that I was in the drama department, and the teacher in junior high and ninth grade, she showed me this audition, a piece of paper that had an audition information for this high school, for an arts high school. And she was recommending that I audition for the theater department, and I thought, oh yeah, that'd be fun. You know, I used to watch Fame when Fame was like a on TV that they turned it into a show, and it was I loved that show, and I was like, I want to go to a school like that, and that's just what I thought about, and I could have gone in the direction of theater, but I looked at the requirements for the audition, and at 15 years old, it was like to audition with two songs of my choice rather than, you know, monologue or whatever. I just thought, well, I'll just sing a couple of songs. That's easier. So in my 15-year-old mentality, I took the easier path, which was really just, you know, what it means everything and nothing that I just chose that. But it's you know, everything for a reason. So I think that's probably the biggest kind of turning point, because, like I say, it was a choice. It was something that at very young I thought, this is what I have an interest in this, and there was so much ahead of me. I think it's such a beautiful time when we are that young, when we're, you know, in high school, and we're just like these little sponges that soak up every opportunity and everything, and we actually, in a really charming way, think that we're invincible, you know, and that we can do anything. And I think it's really valuable to remember what it feels like to not be tainted by anything, to not have, you know, maybe you haven't had your heart broken yet, you know, in your love life, or maybe just in your career, you know, life. It's just, there's nothing that was, that could have gotten in my way at all. And I was just completely charged and ready and absolutely loved singing, and thought, this is really this is what I want to do with my life. So I think I would put that on the shelf of kind of the very, very, very important time.
Well, you were fearless. That's what you were.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wonderful
thing.
When we
need that. I know it is. And it's like nice to tap into that because, of course, life is what it is and things happen that kind of that help shape us tragically and, you know, amazingly. All of that is just life. But there is something really very, very sweet about just the pure love and the pure energy of complete, everything is just is positive and you know, this feeling of that you're like a superhero is great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You've become that. you really have. And I just want to give my appreciation to your grandfather, Charlie, who played trumpet for Kay Kaiser and also played and sang for Tennessee Ernie Ford and Lawrence Welk. I think that's beautiful. And then your dad, Dave, bass player for Frank Zappa. And
yeah.
Played for Henry Mancini and Streisand and Giroux, and it's just maybe it's a gene, but you probably have surpassed any expectations of what those around you in a tight knit circle have ever anticipated. And Gretchen,
yeah.
You know what I gotta say as a mom, because it's Mother's Day this weekend. That
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. I. It's not my right to say, but I'm proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I do imagine, I'm not a mother yet. I plan to be at some point. I look forward to that. But I imagine that as, you know, as for my parents, for you know, other generations of, like, yeah, seeing this kind of artistic gene passed on. And, you know, it's wonderful to see somebody, whatever it is that what we choose to do, just doing what we absolutely love, you know.
And it's
wonderful.
Gosh, in that regard, you are more blessed than most people I know who are walking, because it's not only that opportunities come your way, but when you have them and when you perform those opportunities, people are changed. Honestly.
Thank you. That means everything. That's the best compliment I could ever receive. And like I say, the timing is perfect. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry. The timing is perfect, too, because I will, you know, it's just what I need to hear to continue, you know, on the next project and thinking of the next album idea. That's whenever you kind of get slightly stressed of like, well, what are we going to do? What's the next thing? What do people want to hear? All these kind of chatter of on the business end, and you think about the artistic end, you think about the how it's received. That's exactly, you know, you have to kind of shed all of that and realize like what's really at the core, and it's that people can be moved and changed and healed and transformed through art. So if I can have any part in that, then that's a very good thing, very powerful thing.
You will see that in an intimate way tomorrow night at Ram's Head, and I'll be there. And I thought we would leave the interview with something again that you wrote from The Lost and Found called Circling. I love that.
Oh, great! Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gretchen, and we'll see you tomorrow. And I wish you all the best. I know the best is coming to you because your heart's in the right place.
Oh, that means everything. Thank you. You've really made my day with everything you said. We look forward to tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Thank you very much for everything, too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Gretchen Parlato. Oh, my goodness. You know, she and I spoke on Cool Jazz Conversations when Joy Hall couldn't be there this particular night. And it just seems like whenever you talk to someone who is that evolved, things just start to open up and then open up. And then there's more layers that are peeled away. And God bless her. She really is on this amazing ride that you would wish for anyone that you loved or respected that had the best of intentions. as they are making this journey. So good for her. God bless her. And here we are from the Lost and Found. One of those songs that will stay with you. I'm telling you, this is Circling on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. from Gretchen Parlato to Charlie Parker, and that's a natural transition on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
If you only knew what you do to me every time I see you, is what I'm going through. If you only knew, if you only knew, but it's way too soon to talk about this feeling and what I'd like to do with you. If you only knew, I'd take you far away where no one else can find us, or leave our cares behind us. Dance beneath the moon, somewhere by the sea, a warm and gentle breeze. If you only knew what you do to me when I see you smiling, it hits me through and through. If you only knew, that I was strong, the ruler of my world, the keeper of the castle, until you came along. I thought that I was strong. I know where there's a place no one else can find us, but leave our cares behind us. And sing under the stars, somewhere by the sea, the warm and gentle breezes. If you only knew, the love that I've been feeling has really got me reeling. All because of you, all because of you. If you only knew what you do to me, darling. If you only knew what you do to me. If you only knew what you do to me, darling.
Slim Man, if you only knew what you do to so many women when you sing. Mercy sakes alive. SlimMan.com. If you haven't been there recently, you need to go. He's got a new blog, our Slimmy, SlimManCooks.com. And he's got a wonderful recipe for pasta and roasted vegetables. He is so good. I can't even tell you how good he is. If you go to the website, you're going to see a lot of different kinds of recipes that he learned from his mom and his grandmother. So he was doing this real early. This is second nature to him. So it's not like he just sings and writes and produces and is this entrepreneur. He's a bon vivant. He is a Renaissance man. Amazing. If you only knew from that wonderful Thousand Miles Away CD. I'm tickled for him. Slim's not in Baltimore these days. He's in Nashville. And that's where he's making his base for now. And he's playing some summer dates. I'm excited. San Antonio and then Wisconsin. And then a little bit later this year, he's at the Catalina Island Jazz Festival. Slimmy, Mr. Manicotti. Yeah. We have to say happy birthday to Batu, who is Slim Man's dog. Batu has his own separate personality and his own life. His birthday was May the 5th, so he missed it just several days ago, but that's okay as long as it gets mentioned. So Slim is taken care of. Billy Cobham and Esere was before Slim Man. Billy Cobham, his birthday is coming up on May 16th, born in Panama, lives in Bern, Switzerland at this present moment, and is doing quite a bit, not only in the way of touring, but I have to make mention that this is such a neat collaboration. Asare is a seven-piece group from Cuba. In 2007, Billy returned to his Latin roots. He's from Panama, and collaborated with this Cuban group on an album called De Cuba y de Panama. And what you heard was Destinos, written by trumpeter Michael Padron, who is also the featured soloist on that track. Billy Cobham has a pretty active Facebook page. And I know that George Duke had made mention when he was on with me that I think that there is a project, or maybe George wants there to be a project in the works with Billy again, because they work so well together. We'll see how 2012 unfolds. But for right now, you can catch Billy at the Rio das Ostras Jazz and Blues Festival in Brazil a little bit later this year. So excited whenever I read something he's doing. Facebook, go to his Facebook page. He's got all sorts of stuff happening there and some cool pictures too. Charlie Parker, we started the set right after a tune from Gretchen Parlato. Did you just love that? Oh, bless her heart. The Lost and Found is such an amazing CD. Just acclaim after acclaim. I can't even tell you, from Billboard to Downbeat to internet radio scenarios to publications. Everyone said that when this CD came out, which, what, over a year ago now, just about that, right? Just about a year, The Lost and Found. As she makes more and more work, she gets just more and more anointed, okay? There's something about Gretchen Parlato that is so special. 35, 36 years old this year. It's crazy. Just so much to accomplish, and yet so much more to do, and she knows it, and she's up for the task. But after we heard Gretchen and Circling from her CD, we heard Charlie Parker and Star Eyes. Yeah. Just love the idea that this compilation, he and his fellow musicians who felt that harmonic vibe in the 40s, followed that star and birthed bebop, and Star Eyes traces that evolution. So you're hearing some vintage work there. And on varying tracks, Dizzy Gillespie, Kenny Gorham, sharing trumpets back and forth, Monk, Hank Jones, Al Haig on piano, Ray Brown, bass, Buddy Rich, Max Roach on drums. Just a real sweet time of creativity. Star Eyes was the track that we heard. God bless you, Charlie Parker. Gone too soon. Some of these cats only live to be in their 20s or 30s, and what they amassed in the way of work in their short time on Earth, insane, pleasantly insane. Wish we had them back. At least we have their music. Going to play something real different now. Man, just love that Bob James and Keiko Matsui got together a few times. Love playing together. This from the real sweet and stark sometimes, an ambient Altair and Vega CD. This is Frozen Lake on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Ooh, you're going to love this.
Thank you. darkened arms and I lost my way. From the dark came a voice and it seemed to say, there you go. There you go.
I had to do it, right? We were talking about that song when Gretchen Parlato was on the show with me just a little while ago, and just one of those songs that just takes you and throws you around the room and pummels you against the wall and brings you back. That's what it does to me. Got Lost in His Arms, Gretchen Parlato, from not the Lost and Found, not Gretchen's CD, but Terry Lynn Carrington's Grammy Award-winning CD, The Mosaic Project. Man, you talk about some serious work. An all-female ensemble turning out some of the most spectacular work you will ever hear on one album. No lie. Joy Hall and I were talking about this at length, and of course at one point we had Terry Lynn Carrington on with us on Cool Jazz Conversations. Just when you think of the scope of how some people can think. Gretchen was talking about Terry Lynn having this concept in mind for that classic song. And Gretchen just knowing that it's the right choice, it's different, but it's the right choice, that treatment for the song. The creativity behind somebody like Terry Lynn Carrington and Gretchen Parlato, it's just a thrill to be living at the same time. Woo! I could wax poetic all day. Greg Hatza and his organization, his take on Change the World, written by a little group of Nashville songwriters, and of course Eric Clapton, changed the face of the universe when he made it into a hit. That particular take is from Greg's Snake Eyes CD back in 1997. And, of course, we had Greg on the show, too, talking about the fact that what kicked it in gear for him on that organ. Oh, man, it's so nice to hear an organ take on Change the World. He heard Joey DeFrancesco say, hey, man, not to worry. This whole vibe about the organ is coming back. A lot of people are gravitating back to it. And Greg listened, and thank God, because that Snake Eyes CD is just a charmer, and he's made quite a few, Greg. If you go to GregHatza.com, I think it's Greg Hatza. My God, there's so many websites I've gone to in the past 48 hours. It's unbelievable. This is a man from Reading, PA, taught jazz for years, got his master's from Towson State University, where I hope my son goes to. Greg is now, and he touched on this, I didn't know that, but he's into martial arts and into, and I can't pronounce it. Man, it's not jujitsu. It's Qigong, is that the correct pronunciation? And other forms of ways to defend yourself that aren't necessarily compromising. That sounds vague enough? Good. Bob James and Keiko Matsui, Frozen Lake from Altair and Vega, a four-handed parts project on solo piano. They learned so well how to be in tune with one another that it's this four-handed scenario on a piano. Now, there's little variations on a theme on that. You heard Frozen Lake, and you really have to pick up the vibe of the whole CD. And, of course, you know, where do Altair and Vega come from? They're stars. The Milky Way separates them, and they are only allowed to meet once a year. It's all very, very romantic. They're supposed to be lovers, these stars. Now, when they meet is on the seventh day of the seventh lunar month, and the Tanabata Festival in Japan is celebrated to honor Altair and Vega, and that's usually in July or August. Keiko Matsui is just full of stories like this. Ooh, love to hear her tell those tales. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and I'm just tickled that Mimi Jones and Gretchen Parlato had 30 minutes apiece to tell their stories. What amazing stories. And the stories continue. Legendary. We used that word once in the show. We'll use it again. Many folks who were involved in jazz don't know that Chet Atkins had anything to do with jazz. He was one of those mainstays in country music. I knew him the two times I lived in Nashville. Just an amazing man. Wonderful story. And back in 1985, he made a CD that has a story to it, this project, that was loosely labeled as country jazz. Oh, we love that so much. Hence the name Hybrid Jazz for the show. But on the particular CD is a song that Chet did with Errol Clue. It's called The Cricket Ballet. And I would just love to play it for you because you're going to hear two people who love to play. And as Errol Clue was coming up, this was one of his inspirations, Chet Atkins. This is from Stay Tuned on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Since that rascal Steve Oliver was with us the other day on Tuesday, I've been thinking about that song. We actually talked about it too. Steve Oliver has a brand new CD out called World Citizen, which is just wonderful. But I wanted to delve into the album immediately before World Citizen, Global Kiss. Just love the idea that we went from Global Kiss to World Citizen. Woo! That's called Fearless. Man, it's an anthem for a few of us. Let me tell you something. Oh, when you learn to be fearless. Oh. Because, you know, these slogans get passed around on Facebook frequently. And some of them are just whimsy, and some of them are nonsensical, and some are just actually stupid. But there are some that really make a lot of sense, and especially for folks who are trying to walk this spiritual path. And it is that if you continue to worry and to stress, that shows that you don't have faith. So it goes without saying that if you have a sense of fearlessness, you know who's in control. Woo! Just love that. Steve Oliver, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. There are so many ways that Steve is going to be reaching people this year with World Citizen. Oh, gosh. And hopefully we'll check in with him from time to time during the course of 2012 and find out how that's working for him. We heard, speaking about fearless, Ornette Coleman, 82 years young this year. Ornette, along with Don Cherry, The Blessing, which was from a CD called Live in L.A., The Hillcrest Performances from 1958. Now, here's the situation. Ornette Coleman, just one of those other folks you have to do research on because there's so much. Sax man, violin, trumpet guy, free jazz hero in the 60s. Before the CD that changed a lot of people's opinions and caused some controversy came out, The Shape of Jazz to Come, there was this playing, this live session or two that Ornette and Don Cherry had in L.A. And, man, you talk about some cat that spun people's heads. Very unorthodox, just not what people had been used to hearing, and really believe that instead of adhering to a particular code in jazz, he just wanted to be free form. So that necessarily put some people in a quandary, ticked others off, and caused some irritation because, frankly, folks didn't take kindly to some sorts of innovations, especially when they hadn't thought of them. 2007, this is so cool, a Sound Grammar from Ornette Coleman won the Pulitzer Prize. Now you have that on one side of the spectrum, and you knew that different kinds of cats in other genres wanted to play with Ornette. So here comes Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead playing on Ornette's Virgin Beauty in 1988. Just an amazing amalgam of different kinds of feels and still playing, actually. Yeah. Oh, man, I would just love to spend some time, and we're working on that, trust me. So there you go. Ornette Coleman, Don Cherry, one of the great underrated cornetists who died in 1995. God bless them. They just had this special chemistry together that was just wonderful. Chet Atkins, Stay Tuned, from 1985, started the set. The Cricket Ballet is what we heard, and that was Earl Clue on that particular track. But also on the CD, George Benson, Larry Carlton, Mark Knopfler, Jeff and Steve, Jeff Porcaro, God rest his soul, from Toto. And that really caused some buzz, too, when it came out, because this was the first album that Chet did on Columbia Records after being with RCA for years, since the 50s. And Chet was just chafing. He was a finder of talent, not compared to anyone else in Nashville circles. Production, sometimes controversial production, because Chet liked to make sure that some of these country artists got sweetened a little bit, you know, with production, not just the straight-ahead, bare minimum instrumentation that many had come to expect from Nashville circles. He was an innovator, and he was chafing because RCA wouldn't let him do a jazz album. So he said, all right, then, I'll go. And they were completely in shock, but there he was. He went on to Columbia Records, and he made Stay Tuned, and he really got some big accolades for that. One of those great characters that people talk about all the time in Nashville. Died in June of 2001, I was really glad to know that he passed away before he knew what happened to the Twin Towers in New York, because that would have just killed him. He was a real gentle-hearted man, a good-hearted man, and had a physical situation happening with his back that rendered him null and void as far as using a bed. So he actually, most of his life, fell asleep in a chair upright with a guitar in his arms. Just that kind of story, yeah. Chet Atkins. Mm. Now, we just spoke about fearlessness, and here we are with another one of those examples, a very interesting man while he was walking among us. He didn't think that he was from planet Earth. He thought he was from Saturn. No matter. Sun Ra and his orchestra. This is Kingdom of Thunder on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
can say more than words, and all that you gave was never lost, no. If you can touch all the missing
something else, isn't it? Woo! Mercy sakes alive. Ramsey Lewis with One Voice from 2005. Darius Brooks, the multiple Grammy Award winner on vocals. Song that Darius wrote called Healed Heart with Ramsey Lewis on that Steinway concert piano and backed up by the J.W. James Memorial AME Combined Choirs, don't you know? Whew, it's good stuff. My gracious, we needed to hear that. Oh, Darius is based in Chicago. He's done so much work through the years, and you can find out more via Journey Music Group and do a slash in Darius Brooks. You'll find out a whole bunch about him. Ramsey Lewis, God bless him. His birthday's coming up on the 27th. He'll be 77. Yeah, he's going to be in Oakland, California this Mother's Day weekend. And he's going to be in Austin, Texas on May the 18th. So, Tim Armstrong and Austin, you hear me? Make sure you go see Ramsey Lewis. Whew. He was talking to a lady named Trish Crawford, who was one of the entertainment reporters at Toronto.com. And, of course, she was asking him about his long career. And he said the way he's done his music as it has unfolded is, and this is a quote, honesty and truth as I see it. Take what you feel inside and pass it on. That is so beautiful. That's it in a nutshell. And I'm sure that if Mimi Jones, who you heard right before Ramsey Lewis and company, would hear that, she would say the same thing. MimiJonesMusic.com has all the lowdown on what this amazing gal is doing. She's going to be at the Bohemian Caverns on the 15th, doing her little mini tour of the East Coast. She's going to be playing at Sherwood High in Sandy Springs that same day. She'll be going to Norfolk, Virginia, and also Philadelphia. And what you heard, the song was called Sista from A New Day. That'd be a cool thing to play for Mother's Day. To all my mothers out there, Sista, we are all sisters. We need to remember that every day. We should never forget that together we can accomplish so much more than any division that we try to seek. And men will try to cause the separation sometimes, and that's just silly. Everybody's got different gifts. Everybody's got different talents. And if we learn to utilize them together, nothing we can't do. Sun Ra and his orchestra, not orchestra, orchestra, right before, actually, to top off the three-set little piece there, I guess you could say. Can you tell I was out last night? That was Kingdom of Thunder, 1965, from Fate in a Pleasant Mood. Yes. Born Herman Poole Blount in Alabama on May 22nd, 1914. Passed away May 30th, 1993. My goodness, what a life. A pioneer of Afrofuturism. Sun Ra, naming himself after the Egyptian god of the sun, was adept on piano very early. Oh, my goodness, he showed promise real early. Mom and Grandma doted on him. He also knew how to play bells, gong. He was more than interesting, fascinating. Some people would say, fry short of a happy meal. Those of us who know musicians who walk that tightrope anyway, he was just walking a little tighter, that's all. He thought he was from Saturn. He said that he was from the angel race. There's a lot more involved than that. He had some really crucially devastating experiences that changed him. And if you want to get a hold of what he was, who he was, first of all, Tony Bunn can tell you, because Tony Bunn, bassman extraordinaire, played with Sun Ra during 1976. And Tony has some stories, some of them he can share. But Sun Ra was in jail, one of those folks who lived through segregated times and survived it. Some did not, not only physically, but emotionally. It took its toll. And amazingly, there was a place in Alabama that was a piano shop. And ordinarily, if you played and you were African American, you were not allowed to mingle with the white folks. And for whatever reason, this piano place embraced Sun Ra, still Herman at that time, and sort of encouraged him to play the piano, and that paved the way for a lot of very interesting music. He had his Chicago period, his Philadelphia period, his New York period, and all of it is just really amazing. Let us turn our attention to two local guys, and then we're going to wrap things up. I wanted to make sure you knew that there was such an individual named Elliot Levine. Oh, my, yes, in the D.C. area. What a fascinating person to see when he plays the piano. This is from his most recent work, a couple of years old now, but Jason Barrett did this song last night at the Big Easy. He was in the spotlight, one of those wonderfully positive, energetic people that sings and he draws you to him. He did this song, and I felt compelled to play it by Elliot today, Yearning, the Gap Band song, from Elliot and Urban Grooves from their Live Plus 7 CD on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
got some chemistry.
I think I know what it feels to run.
Girl, I wanted so long to know. Now you're telling me you gotta let it go.
Like to call it love, that's for sure. Lionel Richie, one of my favorite people on the planet. I call it love from Coming Home a few years ago. And I laugh because Tom Joyner has said this publicly, knowing Lionel because they grew up in Alabama together. And Lionel essentially grew up not only in the shadow, but on top of Tuskegee, where this beautiful history unfolded, and Lionel's dad and Tom's dad knew each other really well. Well, I'm laughing because Coming Home did okay for Lionel, but this new album, Tuskegee, since it dropped 5 weeks after the release, it went platinum. Now, as Tom says, this CD, which is essentially a country CD, by the way, did better than Lionel's, what, last 10 albums? Unbelievable. And I noticed, you should know this too, because I'm swallowing hard and I'm going to buy Tuskegee. I'm going to buy it because it's Lionel Richie. Apparently, people are thinking the same thing. On his Facebook page, it says that this week, Amazon MP3 is offering a special promotional price for Tuskegee, so you might want to take part in that. Couple of things. First of all, Lionel is not going to be part of the ABC Duets show, as it was heavily promoted. He had some conflicts in his schedule. John Legend is taking over his spot on the new show called Duets. Lionel is going to be with Jimmy Buffett in Detroit in July. these are the kinds of concerts they're putting together. Lionel and his team are now thinking outside of the box and figuring what's the next step. We're really beyond gaining momentum in country. We are there. So stay tuned. Anything could happen with Lionel Richie. I'll be staying tuned. Trust me, I'm obsessed. Now, we had a couple of local and regional artists who have had international ties and still do play back-to-back. We started off with Elliot Levine. He did Yearning from his CD Live Plus 7. So that means live recordings and 7 studio recordings. And if you go to Elliot Levine, LEVINE.com, you'll learn more. You'll learn that he played with Wilson Pickett and still plays with Heatwave. He's playing with the group on the 21st at the Greek Theater in L.A. and in July at the Dell in Philly. Oh, yes, indeed. Elliot Levine is just kicking jams, taking names, every little slogan you can possibly think of. He is a real formidable talent, and if you ever have a chance to see him, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. A very quirky player. Yeah. Brilliant guy, nerdy with that piano. And you could say the same about Daoud Saeed, who you heard in the middle, his version of One More Night. I want you to do this if you're listening in the area. Go to the place tonight, 315 West Franklin, and demand that Daoud sell you that single. You'll find some tunes on Reverb Nation, but you won't find as much as has been in his repertoire. He's played with Walter Beasley, played with Najee, played with Angela Beaufield, and a whole bunch more. And this is him right here. Yes. And I talked up the post. How about that? Brand New Love is the name of that from Daoud Saeed. DAWOUD SAID is his name. So, Daoud was there at the Big Easy last night playing keys. He'll be there at the place with Vic Frierson and with Spice tonight. It's a small world here in Baltimore, and we love it that way. Join us, hopefully, on Tuesday, will you? Jonathan Widren, the esteemed journalist, will join us, giving us his take on what he thinks the state of jazz is these days, and maybe talking about the Playboy Jazz Festival. Have a wonderful, safe Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. God bless you all. Take care, and thanks for being with us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.